Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Good morning, May 1st. Larry Richard and anchorman Paul Rasmussen. I want to dial back to the conversation and the gathering with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey and stakeholders throughout the process of this storm, including John Hildebrand II, the Vice President of Operations with Duquesne Light. Let me just share a couple of highlights of that press conference. Very important.
It is already clear that this is an unprecedented event in the history of Duquesne Light companies. More than 250,000 Duquesne Light customers experienced an outage. That's about 40% of the customers we serve. Our first and foremost focus is about safety, safety of our team members, safety of those coming to help, contractors and others, and safety of the public. Please assume any lines that you see are energized. Stay clear of them and call 911, and we will coordinate a timely response. As another indication of the magnitude of the event, we've received reports of more than 22,000 hazards, some of which are wires down, some of which are poles broken, etc. Another key element to appreciate the magnitude of the event, as you know, a transmission system feeds the neighborhoods and customers that we serve. Our transmission system has been impacted and there has been some damage. We're working to recover those sources. We want to cite the Duquesne Light workers, the line workers, the troubleshooters, those in the operations center, those in the contact center, all working diligently to safely field our customers at this time of their greatest need. We're estimating 5 to 7 days of restoration time at the moment.
5 to 7 days. I think that came at the end of his portion of the press conference, Paul, and certainly got a lot of people's attention because if you've gone through even 12 hours without power, you already had to make some maneuvers, including food in your refrigerator and then other issues. But 5 to 7 days, I don't remember a storm where that has happened here.
That's what happens when hurricanes make landfall in the southern U.S.
And that said, and due to continuing power issues and down trees and wires, many school districts have closed or some are still on a two-hour delay. For instance, Peters Township is two-hour delay. Pine Richland is closed. Then you have North Allegheny closed, but the flexible instruction, and we mentioned Pittsburgh Public, is open. However, there are 8 schools that are affected and will do synchronous learning, which is new verbiage. And
remember the word that they used to celebrate on the Pee Wee's Playhouse? When somebody would say the word and then there would be this brief outburst with bells and whistles and all that? I think we should do that with synchronous. I think we should have a little celebration each time you say the
Let's
word synchronous.
Maybe I have something for you.
That works for me.
That's all I got. That's the best I could do, Paul. But the schools in the Pittsburgh public school system that are having power issues, Brookshire, Brookline, K-8, Carrick High School, Conroy Special Education, Crescent Early Childhood Learning, Roosevelt K-5, South Hills 6-8, Student Achievement Center, and the Northview Early Childhood Center. So you're synchronous. And we have the complete list at kdkradio.com. Challenging times for many people. Although, after a storm like that and you get a day like yesterday, fortunately, it provided an opportunity to make some progress. But, Paul, I saw a lot of trees still hanging over roadways, and some of them look like they don't require that much to remove the portion that's over on the road. So they put up those horse barriers or pylons. And the reason, somebody said, well, why don't they just cut it? First of all, manpower is an issue, but second,
I mean, obviously, yeah.
But there were wires down on the side of the road behind the where the tree had fallen. And
danger,
the wires.
Danger, so Will Robinson, stay away.
Right. So yeah. What John Hildebrand from Duquesne Light said is treat every wire you see as if it were energized.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
I mean, we had 4 deaths in Pennsylvania on Tuesday, and 2 of them were by electrocution, and the other 2 were people killed by falling trees.
So we'll continue to bring you the latest on the storm cleanup, and we're also going to check in with the National Weather Service here in the next half hour about the potential for this storm system. Now, they're saying it's not going to be as intense, but Paul, you and I discussed what the National Weather Service had posted yesterday after they had their survey team, and they concluded that it was straight line wind damage in the areas around Schenley Park through Regent Square, Wilkinsburg, Churchill, Edgewood, and generally north of the parkway and I-376.
But Larry, the wind speeds that they estimate there,
90 to 95 miles an hour.
Wow.
Which puts it into really hurricane category. And while they didn't
above hurricane,
while they didn't confirm any tornadoes that touched down, the damage, you know,
what's the difference?
Is the damage,
right? Yeah.
And you saw many roofs, siding, shingles, trees, debris of all sorts. So the cleanup continues, and we'll continue to bring you the latest. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted on breaking news and weather information. Really important now, and really important for many people who do not have access to power. Our friend Dr. Kevin Wong said patients were coming into his waiting room asking if they could sit there and charge their phones. So some sat for a couple of hours because they had no electricity and nowhere else to go where you could plug in. I mentioned the long lines getting coffee yesterday. I don't know if this is true or not, but one Starbucks in a morning commute for one person took in $6,200. That seems extraordinary.
The long wait for cable television service has been answered here at the studios. We now have television back.
And it just came on.
Just now.
Yeah. You're witnessing a minor miracle, Aaron.
It's nice to be able to monitor what's going on in the world and around town, just in case something might be going on you don't know about.
Yeah, so, you know, just like you would see in a movie set, in our newsroom, we have 4 actual monitors.
I make that 5. There's one by my desk as well. And then I've got 2 in here, and you've got a big one.
Thank you. And I have the local networks are on, ABC, NBC, CBS, and then we monitor national news as well.
Things like the Weather Channel and ESPN.
Well, what you find out is you take so much for granted when you have electricity.
Right. I mean, it's nice to have it back. You know, I'm so in the habit of glancing up to just check the monitors out just to make sure there's nothing happening that I'm unaware of. And that's a habit that I built on the day after 911. We had a monitor on in the studio where I was on the air at the time of the attack. And the producer said, hey, take a look at your monitor. and I saw the smoke pouring out of the first tower. And from that point forward, I've always checked the monitors frequently.
Well, we'll keep you posted. And if there wasn't enough to be concerned or worried about, how about this? Sometime this month, an old Soviet spaceship is going to come crashing back to Earth.
Which one?
Cosmos 482 was launched more than half a century ago on a mission to explore Venus, but it couldn't get out of the Earth's orbit and ended up stuck in orbit and slowly is going to come back. But now it'll come hurtling back. They expect it to fall down around May 9th. Now, here's the problem. They don't know where.
Oh, boy. Russian fireball is coming, and we really can't pin it down.
It weighs 1,000 pounds, and because it has a heat shield, it will not burn up in the atmosphere.
Well, it makes sense that it would because of where it was being sent.
Right.
And didn't get.
So just add that to, and ironically, it's National Space Day, too. And a group of scientists at Virginia Tech are now warning that a massive West Coast earthquake like the one they've been predicting for years could erase the coastline from Northern California to Canada. They think a magnitude of 8 on the Richter scale or larger along a 600-mile stretch called the Cascadia Subduction Zone would trigger a huge tsunami that would permanently sink the coastline in at least 6 feet of water. It's the only major fault line in the Ring of Fire that hasn't had a major earthquake in the last half century. They think they're due.
Wow. Nice.
People in California, I know, I get it. The weather a lot of the time is really nice, but there's always that hanging possibility of earthquakes and then the fires and then the mudslides and dogs and cats living together. I mean,
mass hysteria.
I've been to California a number of times, and it's great to visit. I don't know that I could live there with that kind of pressure hanging over my head.
You saying mudslide is another one I just would never even think about. That's insane.
All right.
You know, we went through a period there for a couple of years where we were having them almost daily.
Oh, those wow. That affected this. Yeah, because of the hilly terrain here.
I mean, even communities with houses sliding down hills.
All right, I got one more thing for you. This is really important for cybersecurity and choosing passwords. You ready, Aaron?
Yep.
Cybersecurity firm has timed how long it takes the average hacker to crack your password. If it's only 4 characters, less than a second. A password with 5 characters using numbers in upper and lowercase letters would take a hacker maybe 2 hours to figure out. But a combination of 8 random characters, including numbers and symbols, would take 164 years to crack. And now you go to a 12-character combo, it would take a hacker 3 billion years.
And that's why the company has us doing a 16-word password now, or it's actually a passphrase. Aaron, you could probably change yours to include the words garage door.
Wow. You're right, though.
Wouldn't be easy to remember. Yeah.
And we do have to change. When's the last time you guys changed your Odyssey password? I just did mine,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, in our company and many other companies, due to some law, Sarbanes-Oxley or
Sarbanes-Oxley,
whoever those two guys are,
yep.
We are prompted and must change our passwords because you get lazy, right?
Mm.
And you have, how many passwords do you have?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The average family for whatever, your online banking, your cable or satellite. Or
you know, our smartphones all have programs in them now to manage all the passwords.
Which means why don't somebody can just hack and steal your password management system?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile,
they're in there rooting around in my passwords. Well, if they want to pay my power bill, yo, go right ahead.
I keep getting these notifications that somebody got money somewhere and they're going to direct deposit $5 million. And I got to say, it's tempting, but don't open them. From Morning Show, Larry Richard looking at school closings and delays. We have the entire list at kdkradio.com. Pittsburgh public schools are in, but there are eight schools that are on what they call synchronous instruction. North Allegheny schools closed. They have flexible instruction. Pine Richland closed, and a number of others, some on delays. Again, get the list at kdkradio.com. So yesterday, the National Weather Service sent out survey teams and tried to reconstruct what happened on Tuesday. Now, our concerns about what's coming today. And we go to meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
I know you and your team have had your hands full, but after you went out and investigated, I guess the areas around Schenley Park to Regent Square to Wilkinsburg, Churchill, Edgewood, and generally north of the Parkway I-376, what jumped off the page to Paul Rasmussen and I was the 90 to 95-mile-an-hour winds consistent with these straight-line wind storms that did so much damage.
Yeah, so the survey teams went out and reviewed and looked at all the damage that was occurred across the region. They surveyed all sorts of places, and some of the damage they were seeing was indicative of winds that were that 90 to 95-mile-per-hour. And based on the direction of things damaged, there was no tornado. This was all straight-line, but it shows that even if it's not a tornado, if we get winds that strong, it can do a serious punch to the region. And obviously, a lot of areas are still reeling here this morning, and we're hoping for their recovery and quick order. And hopefully today we can maybe avoid additional things, but that's what we're going to be looking out for this afternoon and evening.
And so with this afternoon and this evening, what is the risk for severe weather?
We do have a slight risk outlook for the region here this afternoon and evening, which is a little bit less probability for these impacts from damaging wind, hail, can't even rule out a tornado compared to the last event. What we're looking at is timing is probably somewhere in the similar timing, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. time range, that we could see kind of a broken line of storms moving through that could have, you know, winds around the 60. Can't rule out 70-mile-per-hour winds, maybe some hail. So a region that already doesn't need more, there is that potential. It's just a little bit lower probability, a little bit lower confidence that we can get these storms to those severe levels today, this afternoon. So it's best to continue to monitor the latest forecasts, watches, and warnings as we'll continue to look at the situation, try to keep people abbreviated what to expect.
We're with meteorologist Jason Frazier from the National Weather Service. I'm sure you and your colleagues have talked about this. In terms of widespread damage from a thunderstorm system, Tuesday has to rank way up there, especially looking at those 90 to 95-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, so it's one of the more impactful events that we've seen in the Allegheny County area and listening area. We've kind of looked back at some of the records, and we're still collecting information from this event, but there's been a couple other instances where we've seen widespread outages totaling over 100,000. We've had a couple events where wind gusts at the Pittsburgh International Airport were stronger than the 71 that was measured with Tuesday's events. But this is still one of the higher end events that the region has seen, and it shows with just how long it's going to take to kind of recover from. That's the hope, that today we don't add to that impact that we saw Tuesday.
Hey, before you go, Jason, just peeking at the marathon weekend, we have tens of thousands of people coming this way. How about that forecast, particularly on Sunday morning for the actual marathon race?
So fortunately, we kind of get a lot of the stuff out of our region, especially for most of the days. We are looking at least cooler temperature, which runners will like. The uncertainty comes with, do we actually get the rain out of here versus being dry? And there's still a lot of uncertainty that it had been trending, looking nice and dry, if cool for that morning. chances are starting to increase, or we're trending towards maybe there's still lingering showers for runners starting that day before we have a drier set for next week. So unfortunately, it's not a very good forecast. It's a very 50% probability it could or couldn't rain. But I think we're going to have a lot more understanding as we get a day or two out from that. Get through these next couple of days, we'll have a better handle of what's going to happen for the race and runners there on Sunday morning.
Appreciate the time as always, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, from the National Weather Service, meteorologist Jason Frazier.
And the best part of the forecast so far for Sunday is it's going to be cool.
Yes, for the runners, and we talked to Troy Schooley, who's the CEO of P3R that organizes and runs the marathon events. The runners really prefer the cooler weather for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be quite as comfortable for what they estimate could be 200,000 spectators along the, 26 miles, for those that don't know, is the marathon. That's how long a marathon is. Aaron, have you ever run in a marathon? You're a dancer. I would assume you use your legs.
Right. I was going to say I've done a marathon of sorts in a completely different way, but I've never run a marathon, no.
I can't drive 26 miles without stopping for refreshments. So,
my brother's in a marathon on Sunday, and the training, you hear it's more mental than physical.
I see people in North Park at like 3:30 in the morning running. I assume they're people who are preparing.
Oh yes,
for the event. I give you a lot of credit if you can do that. There's a half marathon, and then they have other events for kids. It's a big weekend in the Berg, and we'll keep you posted. The weather, absolutely critical to everything we're doing right now.
Goldberg, Persky, and White News Desk, Governor Josh Shapiro toured the storm damage Tuesday in Pittsburgh.
Everybody is focused on this, getting the power turned back on, making sure folks are safe. The destruction is really something here as we've traveled across the region today.
And the governor also went in to show support for the small business.
Beautiful.
Kind of pizza, and then they condemned the building. But the mayor says, hey, we'll get that temporary roof. You get that done, we'll get you back open.
Tragedy at PNC Park last night, Larry. A fan fell over the Clemente Wall.
It's extremely unfortunate. I mean, that's an understatement.
That's the voice of Pirates manager Derek Shelton. In the seventh inning, this fan came tumbling to the turf above the right field wall. And at this point, at the last report, was in critical condition.
And here comes marathon weekend.
They just continue to come in. We've taken over 500 registrations this week. So we might be approaching 47,000, 48,000 by the end of the week. So we're super excited to welcome all the people from around the world in town.
That is the voice of Troy Schooley, who is the CEO of P3R that runs the marathon.
And the registrations he's referring to are just the person who's running in the marathon. That doesn't include if they're coming from out of town, the people who they may bring with them, and hotel rooms are going to be in very high demand, because I would assume some people are renting a hotel room just to have some power and a nice shower and maybe watch some TV.
You actually bring up a good point, because of the demand for, if you have 47,000 participants and the potential for 200,000 spectators, do the math. And then if you have, what are we at now in terms of people out of power?
We're just under 200,000 in the region. Yeah.
So some of those people have tried to get a hotel room because they have no power. And in some cases, if you have no power, your water works, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your water heater works.
No, I mean, there's a lot of people who have been taking cold showers for the last day or so.
Yeah, and our producer, Aaron, is still without power. It creates a lot of issues.
It really does. I was going to say include me as one of those people, Paul. But, people in Oklahoma experience this probably so regularly in their tornado season. It's just strange to be experiencing it here.
I think what's been happening, and we've seen this more and more, there have been countries in Europe that have gone dark for periods of time with power issues.
Well, we had Spain and Portugal went down earlier this week.
Right. And then, wasn't it...
Or was it the end of last week, anyway?
On Puerto Rico, the entire island was out of power for a stretch. This is becoming to me, very concerning.
For Puerto Rico, it's an infrastructure problem. In Cuba, they'll go without power for days at a time because their system is breaking down. Their entire, you know, political system is breaking down. But in Europe, with Spain and Portugal, one of the reports I read said that there was a problem with solar panels. I don't know to what degree solar plays a role in their overall energy production, but that many people without power, including the capitals, Lisbon.
Well, think of how disruptive it is to your daily life. When you don't have power, you feel so helpless. And in the case, cell towers must have been affected too, mm-hmm. because the service that I have, even though I didn't have power, I couldn't access. Now, typically, you just go off your phone as long as you can charge your phone, which you can in your car. And some people went to their favorite coffee shop or restaurant trying to find a place to plug in.
Well, I saw pictures of people lined up to do this at Sheetz.
Right. And I mentioned last half hour, Dr. Wong, who's a family physician, said some of his patients came in and said, hey, can we charge up in your waiting room? and sat there and did that. So it's created a big challenge for a lot of people. And the fact that 5 to 7 days.
How many people have gone to their car in the last 36 hours to charge up their phone? Right?
Yeah. Some cases you don't have another resource.
One of our coworkers told me that what he did yesterday for him and his family.
I thought, what if you have an electric car? And someone said, well, there's one of those you can charge your house. You can use it as a generator. And how many people went to Lowe's, Home Depot, True Value, and try to get a generator?
I'd like to know the answer to that one.
You know what?
What the status on inventory is at the big box stores now.
Let's call Andy, because this is the guy. He's our go-to guy.
Perfect.
EV True Value.
Yeah, in Bethel Park, that would be an excellent idea.
Let's see if we can get him 7:15.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
and demand.
I'm sure he'll be able to outline what all else is flying off the shelves, right?
Right.
Batteries, flashlights, lanterns, ice chests.
The good news is some of these LED flashlights have a battery shelf life that's really extraordinary, even the ones that you recharge. You charge it up and have it ready for incidents where, you know, you're out of power. The thing that I have a garage door that has an electric opener, and it broke. So a couple of years ago, I had to get a new one. And the guy said, you want one with a battery backup, don't you?
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm like, I didn't think of that. So when I left yesterday, I remembered, I don't have to pop the latch because there's a pull chain that'll detach the garage door from the power system so that you can open it manually. But having a battery backup on that was clutch. Aaron wishes she had that.
This is all, you know, hindsight is 20/20.
So we got to get you a generator.
Yes.
We got to get you a battery backup for your garage door.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get you a charger so you can utilize your phone, even in power outages.
What it all underscores, though, is that we're so dependent on electricity.
Yes.
It's always here. It's ubiquitous, if that's the right word to use, and so reliable. And then when it's gone, everything changes.
And, Paul, when I reached out to Larry yesterday morning, did it say when you received my text, texting via satellite? Did you see that, Larry?
No.
So wow. T-Mobile has a feature. I didn't realize it was just T-Mobile carriers, where if you have no service whatsoever and you open the messaging app, the iMessaging app, it will literally say send text via satellite, and it will show you, and it'll tell you, you know, the commercials, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You're moving around.
Mm-hmm.
It'll tell you where to move in your house to be directly under a satellite, and you can send a text.
Look at you.
It was so weird, but that's how I texted you yesterday.
I'm impressed. You also texted me you had less than 5% juice in your phone.
Yep, I was rapid firing.
So don't expect me to talk to you after. I get it. Well, while you're at it, can you track that Russian spacecraft that's going to crash to Earth?
Yeah, I'm on it.
Yoy.